Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. Welcome to Maranatha. I don't think we have any more introduction. I think we all know who's going to be standing and giving us the word today. So without further ado, let's, Pastor Russ, please come and give us the word of the Lord. Amen. Please welcome Pastor Russ.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. For his mercy endures forever. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Good and upright is the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I would have lost heart unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who trusts in him. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the time of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. The Lord is good. Amen. We've not come here today to argue a theological proposition, but to remind us and to encourage us to remember the goodness of the Lord. I remember early on in my educational experience, like in the ninth grade, I took chemistry. For what reason, I have not yet determined. But I didn't blow up the lab. That's the good news. But the teacher stood up front and said, there are two things that are absolutely imperative. One, you must never forget the chemical symbol for aluminum. His name was Al. So I said, I think I can do that. And then he said something that I've never forgotten. He said, only fools believe in luck. Wise men believe in cause and effect. We are here today because of the goodness of God. I have asked you to remember with me some of the goodness of the Lord in your life. You say, well, I was just lucky. No, only fools believe in luck. We believe in divine providence. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Now, those of us who've been following the Lord for any time can remember at times when things just worked out. Things just seemed to fall in place. We met the person at the right time. The circumstances shifted. And we said, wow, how did that happen? It's the goodness of the Lord. We're His children and He cares for us. He's concerned about everything that touches our lives. I've been serving the Lord for a few years, and I can tell you without any fear of contradiction that there have been numerous times that God's goodness has just rushed in. When it seemed that everything else was falling apart, God's goodness showed up. I was in Romania finishing up a ministry there, and I'd been visiting there for several years. And when I went to check out, the airport security people, very nice people, my best friends, no doubt, except when they throw things away that I have in my case that I wish they wouldn't throw away. They stopped me, and the gentleman who was searching my bag started breaking the plastic underneath the extended handle. And I thought, wow, what would he want to do that for? It's just an old suitcase. I've been using it in this country for years, in and out of Dulles for years. And lo and behold, it was like magic. He reached back up under there, and after struggling for some time, pulled out two shotgun shells. And the Border Patrol rushed to my side to give me aid and comfort and told me not to move. And I'll tell you, at that moment, I realized that that was not a good thing. I was in a serious situation, and immediately the peace of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God covered me like a coat. I knew they were upset, but I was not upset. I knew that God was working. I didn't know how. I didn't understand it, but I knew that God's goodness was there. How did those shotgun shells get in my case? Well, that's another story. But about 10 years prior to this time, when I was discovered having these wonderful things in the airport, I had gone to Western Maryland and to West Virginia. Now, in West Virginia, you can shoot your gun. I know that'll upset some of you, but don't worry. You don't live in West Virginia. You'll be okay. But I took a shotgun that my daddy gave me when I was just 14 years old or so, and I hadn't shot it in over 25 years. And I said, I'll just take it up there and shoot the gun a couple of times and clean it, and that'll be that. And when I got up there, I ran short on time, and I didn't have time to shoot the gun, but a friend of mine came to the back of the van where I had the guns laid. I had two shotguns. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Well, yes, I had two shotguns there. And so he said, Bishop, he said, are those guns loaded? I said, and what good is a gun that's not loaded? What you gonna do, throw it at them? Of course, I didn't worry about my security there. But anyway, I said, of course they're loaded. He said, you can't do that. He said, that's against the law. Well, I really didn't know that. To have a loaded gun in your car is against the law. He said, they'll not only fine you, but they could take your car. Well, the car is not that worth that much, but I wouldn't want to take that shotgun because my daddy gave it to me. And he said, man, that thing's an antique. Said, I think he was really saying I was an antique too. He said, that thing's worth some money. I said, well, sir, I wouldn't take the money for it. So what I did was just simply eject the shells out of the gun and threw them in my overnight case, which was open there in the car. Forgot about it. Next time I went to Romania, I opened my case in the Kish home, and there were two shotgun shells. Now, why I didn't think, where are the other two shotgun shells? But it had been so long, I didn't even give it a thought. And so I thought, wow, what a time to have discovered shotgun shells. Then I discovered that they had just 2 weeks before this gotten a brand new machine that was state of the art, and you could not get anything by it. How fortunate for me, how good for me. And of course, they took me out of line, and I said, well, look, my friends are right over there. Pastor Kish and Alina are right there. I've known these people for about 21. He wasn't interested in my story. And he went over to the Kish family, and he said, your friend is in big trouble. Said, you might as well go home. There's nothing you can do for him. So I was taken to a room where they had me sit on a seat, and it was hot. It was hot in the room, I should say. And I tried to speak to them in English, and they tried to speak to me in Romanian, and we were not making much headway. Well, to put this in context, on Tuesday night, before I was to take the plane on Wednesday, I got a text from my friend in Florida, my best friend from high school that has kept up with me over the years, had died. Bola had taken me down a few weeks prior to my trip to Romania to see him, and we had a nice visit, but I got the message that he had died, and Naomi was expecting me to be there for the funeral. Wow, I was on a close schedule, I knew that. And here I am being detained by the security patrol, and what am I going to do? Well, finally, after so long a time of having them photo, shop, and take pictures of every angle of the shotgun shells. In fact, those are the most famous shells in all of Romania. They've been lots of pictures taken of those. And they finally realized that I could not speak enough Romanian to deal with the situation. They could not speak enough English. And so they got so frustrated, they finally left. One of them left the room and came back with a guy in civilian clothes. They were in uniforms. And they all stepped to. I said, this is the boss. This is the main man. And so he could speak enough English to know that he needed help. And so he got the card from the officer that had Pastor Kish's number on the back. He went out of the room. I didn't know what he was doing, but he called Pastor Kish. And about 15 minutes, he walked in with Pastor Kish. I felt a lot better by this time because I'd been there for a good while and was making no progress. So at the airport, the night before, I got a message on my text, and I'm trying to learn that business, and it says, your flight will now be to Zurich. I thought, what am I going to Zurich for? I have no business in Zurich. And so at the counter, prior to my getting discovered with the shotgun shells, the agents took about 30 minutes trying to figure out, why are they sending you to Zurich? And I said, sir, I don't know. Lufthansa's on strike and things are difficult. And they gave all kind of reasons why it might be the case. And said, on top of that, we have no flights out of Zurich tomorrow for Dulles. I said, well, I really need to get home. Well, Pastor Kish came and he talked to the gentleman. Oh, he said, you're Pastor Kish. You are part of the team that built Exodus Church. Oh, yes. And now Old Home Week breaks out. They start talking about the children they have and about knowing different people. And finally, the man says, look, he says, just get your friend to write out a declaration and explain what happened, and he's good to go. And so I did. I dictated to Pastor Kish. He wrote it in Romanian. He wrote one line. I said, I've come to Romania several times with this case, and the shotgun shells have been there for years. He said, don't write that. Don't write that. Yeah, that's not good. So I scratched that out. And he was very nice. The people were very courteous to me, though they were not friendly. They were courteous. And they finally said, okay, you can go. Pastor Kish and I started to leave the room, and I greeted each one of them. And I learned how to say, God bless you, in Romanian, Dumnezeu sa te binecuvânteze. So they understood that, and I left. Well, now the plane I was supposed to be on is taxiing off down the runway and going to wherever. What to do? So I go downstairs to the ticket office. That's the next stop. And the man looks at my ticket, says, your fault. You missed the plane because you had contraband. It's not our problem. You have to buy a new ticket. Well, now we're talking in the neighborhood of $2,000. And Pastor Kish says, in Romanian, I didn't know exactly at the time what he said, but he said, not acceptable, not acceptable. So the man just jumped up and walked out. And we're just sitting there, which was not acceptable. But at any rate, in about 5 minutes, in walked this lovely young lady. And she sat down at the desk and looked at the situation and spoke to Pastor Kish. And she looked up and said, Pastor Kish, are you Allie's father? And he said, honey, he said, I've known you since you were in elementary school. And now our home week breaks out again. And we bring everybody up to speed on what's happening in our world. And she starts calling here and there and everywhere. And finally she comes back and says, sorry, but you bought the ticket over the internet and the ticket is no good. You'll have to, he said, but wait a minute, you changed the ticket. And so they called the company, and sure enough, because they changed my ticket to Zurich, they gave me a brand new ticket. And so the next day, I got on the plane and flew to Munich and flew straight to Dulles, got home at about 9 o'clock, washed some clothes, slept till 3 in the morning, got up and drove all day. And the next day, I was able to be at my friend's funeral. If I had not had those shotgun shells in my case, I would have been in Zurich, not going toward my friend. God's goodness. And I'll tell you, usually, you know, Americans can get sort of anxious at times, especially when we feel like we have a justified reason for what's happening. But I immediately experienced in such a powerful way the goodness of God. Now, what I'm asking you to do this morning is to remember. Think about the goodness of God that's been manifested in your life. I know some of your stories, and I could tell some stories that would be interesting, but I don't have permission to do that. But I can tell you that each one of us should come to a place where we can say, Lord, you have been good to me. In fact, we even sing songs about the goodness of the Lord, don't we? We have, I don't know if it's a motto, what would you call it? We say, the Lord is good, and you say, all the time, and then I'll say, the Lord is good, and my friend Sunday Falehi will say, and everywhere. It's true. God is good, and his goodness has been manifested in so many wonderful ways. But most of all, this morning, I'm going to testify to you that he's been good in that he saved me from my sin. I remember when I went to Teen Challenge as a young boy, I heard the testimonies. Some were so, they were hard to listen to. People killing people and drugs and yuck, it just got worse and worse. And finally, I came to the place where I said, boy, I guess I've lived a rather sheltered life. I don't do drugs, and I've never killed anybody. I'm just a ordinary sinner. But the Lord showed me something about his goodness. The Lord has, he kept me from. He didn't save me from, but he kept me from all of those things. I could have gone down those roads. I remember in high school, I was not very popular. You could understand why, of course, but when they wanted to have drinking beer back in that day, that was the big deal. But my mom said, son, don't do that. And every time I even had the inkling to do it, I would hear my mother say, son, don't do that. And besides, I gave my word of honor that I wouldn't do it. God has been good to me. But he saved me and kept me from so many things. But the salvation he has given me is a wonderful, wonderful gift. That is the goodness of the Lord. How good is God? He gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to come to this earth and give his life on Calvary just for me and just for you. God is good. Some of you this morning may not be walking close to the Lord. I don't know your situation. But I know this. God has been good to you. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 2, do you despise the riches of his long-suffering and forbearance, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? No matter who we are, God's goodness is there. God is for us. I like that verse that Paul gives us when he asks the question, since God is for us, who can be against us? How do you know God is really for you? Paul gives us the answer. The next verse says, for he that spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is for you, and God is good. Can I tell just another quick story? Thank you. Since you didn't answer, I just answered for you. God can save us even from ourselves. Janice was taking treatment, radiation treatment, and the doctor was so nice. He said, now, Ms. Russie said, to begin with, the cancer pain will be high and the radiation pain will be low, and about halfway in, about 25 treatments, it'll be about equal, and then the radiation pain will get. And we understood that, so we knew that pain was coming down the road. After about three treatments, I brought Janice home, and I was sitting at the table eating a late lunch with Christy Kish. He was staying with us at the time, and all of a sudden he looked up and he said, Pastor Russ, Janice is screaming. I thought, no, that's got to be a mistake. Janice doesn't scream. She never hardly raises her voice, but she said, yeah. And I ran to the head of the steps, and sure enough, she was screaming. I mean, a blood-curdling scream. I ran down the steps. I said, what's wrong, honey? Well, she was bent over double, pain, pain. I thought, whoa, we just started the treatments. I mean, it's only three treatments, and the doctor said, well, she was screaming. I said, whoa, wait. They gave us medicine, so I ran upstairs, and I got one of the little applicators they had given me, and I filled it with medicine like the doctor told me, and I gave it to her, and after a little bit, she was still screaming. I said, wow, this is not good. So I ran back upstairs, got the applicator, and gave her another dose of it, and after a little bit, she quieted down. I got her in bed, and then I went back upstairs, and I was looking over the medicines and so on, and I said, uh-oh. Instead of picking up the 1 milliliter, I picked up the 10 milliliter. So I run back downstairs, and I said, Janice, I said, I think I made a big mistake. I gave you the wrong dosage. That's okay. It's going to be okay. I said, no, I've got to get you to the hospital. I don't want to go to the hospital. And she was fine. I mean, she was feeling no pain. But I knew I had made a big, instead of giving her 2 milliliters, I had given her 20. And I could just see the papers. Oh, pastor poisons his wife. And I knew that was not going to be good. And so I'm upset and I'm nervous. And the only thing to do is immediately I called the police, 911. And a nice lieutenant, they sent the police, the fire truck, the ambulance, the dog catcher. I mean, they just sent everybody. Quick response. I mean, they were there lickety-split. And I told the nice lieutenant, I said, sir, I've made a big mistake. I showed him exactly what I'd done. He said, sir, you did the right thing. You called us. We'll take care of it. No problem. We can handle this. And so Janice, finally, they encouraged her to let them take her out of the house. She didn't want to go because she was just in a wonderful place. She didn't want to go. And so I raced behind the ambulance, got to the hospital almost like as soon as Janice was there. And now I've got to tell my story all over again. I got to tell the ER doctor what a dunce I am. I don't know the difference between 10 and 1. But anyway, finally I went in and I explained to him. And he said, no, it's okay, sir. He said, well, we got Narcan. I didn't know what that was at the time. He said, now, but when your wife wakes up, she might be a bit agitated and angry at you. I thought, that's okay. Angry's better than dead. I mean, come on, we'll take angry. And so they gave her the medicine, and sure enough, just, I mean, like that, she was, boom, back. And she wasn't angry. She wasn't upset with me. She probably wanted another dose, but I wasn't going to give it to her. And so in 3 or 4 minutes, she started screaming again. And Doc said, whoa, what's going on here? And so he goes over and presses on her abdomen, and he says, uh-oh, he said, we have a problem. They take her off of this gram and that gram, and the doctor doesn't come back. The surgeon comes back, and he had a very heavy I think he was from Spain. Nice young man. He explained to me what he said. Your wife has a perforated ulcer, and she must be operated on immediately. He said, this is a very serious situation. I said, got it. I said, no problem. However, the problem was Dennis did not want to be operated on. And Doc tried to explain it to her, and I said, Doctor, step aside. I said, Janice, here's the deal. You need surgery now. She said, but what about my treatments? I said, if you don't get surgery, you won't need any treatments. I said, you got a choice. You can sign it, or I'm going to sign it. You're going to have surgery. Okay, she said, so she signed it. I'd called Solomon, and he had come to the hospital. I didn't know he was coming, but he came to the hospital. Janice went into surgery at 3 and got out about 12 and got out about 3. And while we were sitting there, he said, you know, Pastor Russ, he said, if you had given Janice the correct dose of medicine and kept her out of pain, her body would have become septic and she probably could have died. God helped you make a mistake. I never knew God helped people make mistakes before. But I said to myself, I said, you know what? That's just how good God is. He's concerned about everything that touches our lives. If you're here today and are not walking with him, oh, let me tell you what, you're missing life. You're missing what it means to really be alive. We just celebrated our nation's freedom, Independence Day. And I wrote a friend about this and we chatted a bit. But I said, real freedom comes from being a slave to Jesus Christ. I can tell you that is the truth. Serving him is a joy. Indeed, I would have fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then the psalmist says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. He'll give you the courage to go on. He'll give you the courage to believe and to hope. Because, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we serve a good God. Our Father, we thank you this morning because you are wonderful. You are gracious and kind. And your goodness surrounds us like a robe. You know our down sitting, our uprising, our thoughts are far off. You know everything about us. And so we come to you today as we begin the preparation for celebrating the Lord's Supper and say, thank you very much, sir, for loving us, for your kindness, for your mercy. And especially today, we rejoice in your goodness. You have been good to us. I know there have been some bumps in the road. There have been some difficult places. But just like Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it unto me for evil, but God meant it unto me for good. Lord, help us to take that Genesis 50:20 promise, knowing that whatever is happening in our lives as we follow you is good. For you're a good God, and all things work together for the good to those that love you, who are called according to your purpose. And I pray even now that you would help each one of us to remember times in our lives when we have been absolutely flooded, overcome by your goodness. Thank you for helping us in all of our ways. And before you lift your heads, let me just say to you, if you're not a believer, you're not following Jesus, this would be a great time for you to say yes to Jesus who said yes to the cross. If you repent of your sins, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Christ and God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. That's the good news. And I encourage you today to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, as it were, and trust him for your salvation. The elders are now preparing to serve us as we remember the Lord's Supper. This is one of the only things that Jesus commanded us to do in a physical, tangible way. He never told us to build brick churches. with steeples on top, he told us to remember my death and my resurrection. If you're a Christian, a believer, you're welcome to the Lord's table. You do not have to be a member of this church, but if you're a believer, you're welcome to receive communion. And while we're being served, can you remember some times that God showered you with his goodness? Can you give him thanks for it? Oh, I thank the Lord for his goodness so wonderfully manifested in my life. So many times when there seemed to be no way, God would sweep in and out of it seemed confusion, bring order and direction, guidance, encouragement, and strength. God is a good God.